I'm going to start by teaching you a prayer that you already know. But I say it a little differently. Come in. Oh, you want to stay? Oh, please, please, please. Okay. I was just saying I'm going to teach you a prayer that you already know, but I say it a little differently. And so I'll say it through once, and you're going to think you know this prayer, but hang tight. Notice that I change a couple of words. This is a prayer that the Lord told me to pray whenever I say Mass here at this parish. And so every Mass, I say this prayer. I say it quietly. Nobody hears me saying it. But I'm not secretive about it. This is just something the Lord told me to pray for this particular parish. And it, you probably know it as the prayer to the Holy Spirit. And it goes like this. Come, Holy Spirit, enlighten the hearts of your faithful. Enkindle in us the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and we shall be recreated. And through us you shall renew the face of the earth. Amen. I really enjoyed the word that Chuck shared before his talk, as he was talking about call to mind the times that God has ministered to you, what God has given you in the past. I had already, I was as we were just singing, and I was already taken in the Spirit back to a time many, many years ago. I was just a teenager, and I just saw myself at this little full gospel church in Irving, Texas, and there was a time there that I spent in the Scriptures and ministering and being ministered to there, and it was actually the group of pastors that I was with there at that particular meeting. Those were the ones who first licensed me to preach when I was 18 years old. So I was called back to that, and there was a touch of God that was refreshed in my soul. There was a touch of God that God had touched me then, and God refreshed that in me tonight. And it was a beautiful, beautiful thing. And then Chuck shares that word that's right on line of what God was already doing in my heart. And I just so appreciate that. I love Chuck's talk. You love Chuck's talk? Yeah. God is love. He loves us so much. Why do we have a problem with that? Why do we struggle with that? Is it that we don't know what love is? Is that we don't feel like we're worthy of love, so we don't let God love us? Oh, a great movie you might want to see sometime. I think it was called The Ragamuffin Gospel. It was about Rich Mullins. And in Rich Mullins' actual life, he was actually in process of becoming Catholic. He was kind of raised a country Pentecostal, not too far from my own experience. My grandmother was a country Pentecostal, and so I had lots of experience there. But Rich is ministered to by a man who is a Franciscan priest. Now, in the movie, he's a country preacher, but in his real life, he was a Franciscan priest. And what he said to Rich on Rich's journey, he said this. He said, I am convinced that when we stand before God on Judgment Day, God has one question of us. Did you let me love you? Did you let me love you? See, God's love, as Chuck was sharing, is from everlasting to everlasting. It's eternal. It's all that He is, and He desires to pour this love into our lives in healing and refreshing and joy. And we hold Him off. We hold Him at arm's length. Chuck quoted C.S. Lewis a couple of times. One of my favorite quotes from Chuck, from C.S. Lewis, is the gates of hell are locked from the inside. It's not that God is sending people to hell, it's that people prefer hell to being with God because they cannot stand. They can't stand being loved. They are so wrapped up in their own. rather spend time in, you know, whatever hellish pursuit that they put on their lives? It's the way most of the people live. Refusing, rejecting God's love. And even sometimes in the church, this happens. As I've worked with people for years and in my own ministry, I've just become convinced that we as a people are deeply wounded and we're not allowing God to heal us. We hold on to our wounds and we don't allow God to heal us. I was working with a gal, this is many, many years ago, and she was, you know, she was charismatic, she was a Christian, and she had really deep hurts, really deep wounds. She didn't know that she did, but she was very, very deeply wounded. And she turned to drugs to try to mask the pain in her life. And she happened to be a nurse. And that's a bad thing. If you like drugs and you're a nurse, it's a bad thing because drugs are everywhere, right? And so, sure enough, she worked in a hospital and she was like skimming a few drugs off, you know, here and there. So she was living on prescription drugs and she got caught. Amazingly, she avoided prosecution, but she lost her nursing license. She came to me. I was not her pastor. She went to another church, but you know how a lot of people don't like to go to their pastor because they don't want the pastor to know their problems. So she came to me and we talked. And the Lord began revealing to me what was going on in her life. And so I asked her a few questions and I asked her about, you know, her life, about her upbringing and her relationship with her father. And she's talking and I asked her, did your father ever abuse you? And she said, oh, no, he never abused me. I said, how did he discipline you? And she said, well, he used to beat me with a horse whip. And I said, you didn't feel like that was abusive. She says, oh, no, I deserved it. We live inside this pain. We live with these pains in our souls. And we live with them for so long that we identify with them. We're afraid to let go of them. We're afraid if we actually let go of the pain, we're not sure who we would be. We identify ourselves with our pain. Really, by the time, you know, that these wounds in our souls become so prevalent in us that by the time we're in our 20s, we identify ourselves as them. Oh, I'm just a very competitive person. Oh, I'm just an angry person. Oh, I'm just someone who doesn't care what happens. You know, we find our way of coping with the pain and that becomes who we are. And then we're afraid of being healed because this is us. And it takes a tremendous amount of courage, a tremendous amount of faith, a tremendous amount of trusting in God to say, I surrender. I give up my pain. I give up who I think I am. I give up who I think you are. And we seek God in the beauty of His grace and His love and allow God to flow into us and bring healing into us. Now, these wounds that I'm talking about, these wounds exist in our souls. I call them soul wounds. In fact, just recently, I was reading a book by Archbishop Fulton Sheen. He talks about the same thing. He talks about the soul wounds, the wounds that we carry that affect the way we see the world, that affect the way we see God. It messes up our view of God because we see God through these wounds, these deep wounds that we have in our souls. If we see God wrongly, then it's very hard for us to find Him to heal us. It's very hard for us to even know how to pray. We become so confused in our lives. Now, because these wounds reside in our souls, our soul are made up of three things, three parts to our soul. That is our mind, our will, and our emotions. Now, where does that come from? That's actually simply the definition, the Greek definition of a soul. In Greek, psuche or psyche, depending on which part of Greece you come from. But it is simply defined as our mind, our will, and our emotions. And the Catholic Church teaches us that our souls are eternal. When we go to God for eternity, we will take with us our mind, our will, and our emotions, who we are. But these souls can become wounded from a variety of ways. They can be wounded by abuse, either abuse that someone else afflicts upon us or that we afflict upon ourselves. Our souls can be wounded, our minds can be wounded through false teaching. Chuck mentioned the judgmental God, how so many of us are raised with this concept of God who is there with a baseball bat waiting for us to do something wrong so he can hammer us, right? I remember hearing someone say once, Jesus may have talked about love, but God in the Old Testament is a smiting God. The smiting God, right? God is waiting to smite somebody. And even today I hear people talking about God must be, you know, something goes wrong in someone's life, and I hear someone say, oh, God must be punishing them. God's teaching them a lesson. Doesn't sound like a God of love to me. When we have false teaching that we hold on to, this is a wound in our soul that can only be repaired, can only be healed through allowing the truth of God's love to work within us. We have a lot of times abusive events in our lives, there's a wound within our memories, where these memories can become inflicted with this wound, and we need to actually go back in memory to remember that event and to give it to God. Allow God to heal. Allow God to heal that memory. There are wounds in our emotions, bitterness, unforgiveness. Unforgiveness of others and unforgiveness of ourselves. See, a lot of times we find people who are very judgmental and very critical. Have you ever met somebody who is always criticizing, always had something to say to correct? You know, you make a mistake, they're there right there to correct you. You do something wrong and they're there to chastise you. People have a critical nature, and it's because they have in themselves a wound that is often a wound of unforgiveness of themselves, that they don't like themselves. They are so displeased with themselves that it comes out towards everybody else. How do we let God come and bring healing into our souls? Personally, my favorite method is through the use of imaginative prayer. Imaginative prayer. Y'all understand what imaginative prayer is? Not everybody. Imaginative prayer is where you pray not necessarily with words, but in your imagination. And you can use that in the gospel, okay? You can use that by going through the gospel and imagining yourself as part of that event, that scene in the gospel. My wife Cheryl has written a delightful book called Who is Jesus, in which she goes through the gospel using imaginative prayer to allow us to be a part of that scene, to be a part of that healing, to to be a part of what Jesus is doing in the gospel, and to personalize that, bring that into ourselves. But we can also use our imagination as like a time machine to go back to that event that inflicted our soul with a wound. Go back to that very event and allow God to bring healing. Allow God to bring change. Allow God to bring light that dispels the darkness. And if you heard me speak a couple of years ago at an inner healing conference that we had here in town, you may remember I taught people to say this prayer when you come face to face with a wound, especially a wound in the memory. And the prayer is pretty simple. It says, you know, even though this happened, or even though I committed this act, or even though this was done to me, even though this happened, God loves me just the way I am. Even though this event happened in my life, God forgives me just the way I am. Even though this event occurred in my life, God accepts me just the way I am. Therefore, I love myself just the way I am. I forgive myself just the way I am. I accept myself just the way I am. Allow God to bring healing into that memory. Allow God to bring healing so that we can have our souls cleansed and purified. Because that way, when we look at God, when we experience God, we won't experience God through that wound. Why did you let that happen to me, God? I'm angry with you, God, because of this. I know what you said, people try and forgive God. Yes, you can't forgive God. But people feel that anger, right? People feel angry towards God. But when you realize, no, God's love, forgiveness, and acceptance is real. It's here. It's right there in this event. Then you can give up that anger towards God. Wounds in our will. Unforgiveness. Unforgiveness is a huge wound in our will. When we choose to be unforgiving towards someone else, when we won't take the grace that God has given us and extend that out, which it's like we turn the spigot off to God's grace. God doesn't give us grace just so we can hold on to it. God gives us grace so that it can flow. Allow that grace of forgiveness to flow through, like we just turn. Forgiveness is sometimes difficult. And obviously what he did, 2 years to forgive him. And then one day, it was gone. One day I could think about him, and I wasn't angry. One day I could think about this person, and it was okay. He made a mistake. I acknowledge the fact that he made a mistake. I know that his mistake endangered my life and the life of a lot of people I cared about. But I had forgiven. It did not make me angry anymore. I had let it go. And that was essential for my walk with God, because that wound would always affect my relationship with God and my relationship with others. A lot of times, again, using imaginative prayer, I take people back to the crucifixion. And I say, imagine you're a Roman soldier and you're so proud to be a Roman soldier. And someone brings you this man they say was a rebel who wants to overthrow Caesar, and he claims to be a king, and He's creating an uprising. And because you're a good and proud patriotic Roman, you are angry with this person and you want to punish this person. And so you beat him and you whip him and you nail him to a cross. And as he's hanging there dying, he looks at you and says, "I forgive you." How do we harbor unforgiveness towards others when we can picture Jesus on the cross forgiving the Roman soldiers who nailed him there? "I forgive you." And when we allow that forgiveness of God to us to flow through our being into others, to let that go. False teachings. False teachings is one way that we have wounds in our souls that so deeply affect our relationship with God, because we have a different idea of who God is, of how God relates to us. A lot of times we, you know, if you ever hear somebody say, "Well, if I were God, I would sure heal everybody. If I was God, I'd put an end to all the wars. If I was God, I would do all these things." You know, we create this image of God that he would be like us. He should be like us. There's something wrong with God because he does things differently than we do. Come on, God, wake up. Be more like me. We grow so confused about the nature of God because we entertain false teachings. False teachings about who he is. That he might be something other than love. That he might be that smiting God. Or that somehow God should answer to us and not us to God. False teachings. I really firmly believe the scriptures are wonderful to correct false teaching in our lives. To meditate upon the scriptures, to read the scriptures, allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us. Jesus promised that the Spirit would lead us into all truth. But are we listening? Are we listening? Do we go to the scriptures, open the scriptures? Holy Spirit, lead us into your truth. Let go of our preconceptions and allow the Holy Spirit to lead us into truth. The more we allow God to heal these wounds, in our soul, the more we can acknowledge him for who he is and allow him to flow through our lives. See, so often we go to confession, we make a confession, we get an absolution, and we kind of walk out and go, "What happened? What happened?" You know, we come to a problem and we pray about it, we don't seem to be getting the answer that we want, and we go, "What's wrong? Aren't I supposed to be living this abundant life of freedom? The joy and the peace of the Holy Spirit? Isn't that supposed to be there?" You know, so we come to a conference like this, right? And we can sing songs and we can get our, you know, we can enjoy it and we can pray and we can praise and it's all good, but then we have to go back into whatever we're going to do on Monday. But this is not like a motivational meeting. This is to be a healing meeting where we are profoundly changed. But we have to surrender our souls, our mind, our will, and our emotions to God and allow him to heal us, to change us, so that at the very center of our being, we become more and more and more God. Chuck is talking about when you see somebody who's been in heaven and we'd be tempted to worship them because they have been so transformed into the very nature and being of God. I know the Eastern Church says some really wild things about this. But one of the great, I think it's St. John Chrysostom, actually, whose feast day is today. St. John Chrysostom says, God became man so that man could become God. We run from that. Because we're unworthy. Yeah, okay, I get it. We say that at Mass, don't we? Lord, I am unworthy that I should let you, you know, have you under my roof. I keep wanting to say it the old way. Lord, I'm unworthy to receive you. But what's the second half of that?
But only say the word and my soul shall be healed.
Shall be healed. My soul shall be healed. What does that? What does healing mean? It means made whole, made complete. The only way we are made complete is to be completely consumed into God. It's not like we are lost. It's we don't become the deity, but we are consumed into God. St. Teresa put it this way, St. Teresa of Avila. We're like a drop of water that falls from the sky into the pond of God. What happened to the water? What happened to the drop? He becomes consumed. You can't tell the difference between that drop and the rest. Now, I suppose that if you were a scientist and you could put some little radioisotope into that drop and you drop it in and you could kind of track where all the atoms of that drop went, it's not like the drop is lost, but for all practical purposes, it's just consumed. It's become the pond. I think that's what John Chrysostom is trying to say. When we surrender and allow God to heal the wounds in our souls, we become more and more God. We become the pond. We quit defining ourselves by our brokenness. And we begin to allow God to define us by His wholeness. Everybody have a problem with it. I cannot remember anybody's name. If I meet somebody and I see them 30 seconds later, I have forgotten. I can't remember a name from one end of the conversation to the other. I'm just terrible about it. But I know this. That's not your name. Whatever you've been called your entire life, that's not your name. Your name is hidden in the depths of God. Revelation says He has written our names on a white stone. God will give you your true name. We hold ourselves back. We hold ourselves back. Let ourselves go. Let ourselves be healed. The wounds in our soul, they affect everything we do, how we see the world, how we see God, how we relate to one another. As couples, husbands and wives, we relate, that's always a tough thing because I'm talking when my wife is here, but it's always a hard thing because we come into this relationship with our own woundedness, our own pains, and we get into this, we live together. We're in the same room together all day long. And at some point, one of us touches that wound, right? Pricks that wound. Boom! The explosion happens. All right? And we all explode in different ways. My wife's Italian. She explodes Italian, all right? I'm part Cherokee. I just go back to my wigwam, you know. Because a wound of our soul has been touched that we haven't allowed God to heal. Our relationships in the church, oh goodness gracious, in the church, is there any place where there's more competitiveness than in the church? Goodness gracious, it's like a sports field out there so many times. So many people trying to get in control and, You know, they've got their own idea what the church needs to be, and oh my goodness gracious. I think I'm into tomorrow's talk now, but you know, Protestant churches exist because people say, I've got my own idea, and I'm going to do things my way, and this is the way it's going to be. But Catholics haven't got, we're no better. Oh, you know, we want to say the Mass in Latin. No, we need to say the Mass in English. No, we want to, you know, say the Mass in Elizabethan English. You know, we have so many different ways. We want everything to follow a certain pattern. And so you've got the Saint Benedict, the Pope Benedict Catholics, and you got the Pope Francis Catholics, and they just can't get along. And I like to say with St. Paul, is Christ divided? How did we get like this? Because we see the church through the wounds of our souls. And until we give those up and allow God to heal these wounds, then we'll be stuck in this battle. This battle, this fight of trying to protect those wounds so that nobody can touch them. To hold these wounds so deep, you know, so deeply guarded so that nobody can get close. Nobody can come close to us. I've worked with people who are deeply sorry for sins that they've committed, but they won't tell anybody about them. They're so embarrassed by these sins. They hold them in deep inside. They won't tell anybody. And they won't let them go. Because they have this sin in their life, they reject themselves. They rejected themselves so deeply that anybody who gets close to them, they lash out with anger. Anyone who tries to say anything about them that is, you know, they create this wall of perfectionism around themselves. Anybody know somebody's built a wall of perfectionism around themselves? And I'm not just talking about somebody who wants to be very, very good at what they do. I understand people who want to be very, very good at what they do, and that's a good thing. But you can develop this wall of perfectionism where if anybody even begins to hint that maybe there's a mistake in there somewhere, you know, then you get pushed away. They push everybody away so they can live within their own little wall of perfectionism. And I've often had to lead people to that point of being able to accept themselves even though they have committed a sin. Maybe murder, maybe abortion, maybe adultery. You know, a sin that is so grave and so embarrassing that they try to make themselves perfect. God loves me just the way I am. God forgives me just the way I am. God accepts me just the way I am. Therefore, I love myself just the way I am. I accept myself just the way I am. I forgive myself just the way I am. It is so easy sometimes to, you know, think that maybe God can forgive us, but can we forgive ourselves? And if we don't, then we keep feeding that wound in our soul. So where am I going with all this? I think just kind of reprising what Chuck said. Let God love you. Let God love you. Let God love the deep and dark places that you've kept hidden from Him. Let God bring healing into those memories. Let God bring healing and correction into those false teachings. Let God's grace not end with you, but flow through you in forgiveness to others. Let God love you. And it's much more than just singing a song and getting excited. It's being transformed. God is in the business of making us whole, of taking our brokenness and making us whole. A very dear friend of mine once gave me a little plaque. And I share this with you to let you know that this has been a long journey for me. Gave me a little plaque. And this plaque said, "The soul I created in you is perfect. The soul I created in you is perfect." And so often we look at ourselves and we focus on the problems, the shortcomings, the brokenness, the pain. But if we are doing that, how are we ever going to be healed? How are we ever going to be made whole? But if we focus on the healer, if we focus on the one who forgives, if we focus on the one who makes whole, if we take our eyes off of our own issues, our own problems, our own sin, our own darkness, and we turn ourselves to the light, turn ourselves to Jesus and allow His love, His grace to wash us. Lord, I'm not worthy to receive you, but say the word. Say the word. I shall be healed. I shall be made whole. I shall be renewed. Let God heal you. Let God make you whole. Let God's love refresh and renew. I'll close with one more saying from Mother Teresa, St. Teresa of Calcutta now. We all want to see things change in this world. And Mother Teresa said this. She says, "I used to pray that God would change the world. Now I pray that God will change me. And I will change the world. Come, Holy Spirit, enlighten the hearts of your faithful. Enkindle in us the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit and we shall be recreated, made fresh, made new, made whole. And through us, you shall renew the face of the earth." Amen. Amen.